The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Gilbert Gottfried, and I'm here with my co-host Frank Santopadre, and this is Gilbert and Frank's Amazing Colossal Obsessions with our special guest, John Vidal.
He gets honorary Paul music.
He gets the Raybone music?
Yeah.
But he's not disabled in any way.
Yet.
Raybone disintegrated, that's why I'm here.
Our musician in residence, John Fotiadis.
Vivin!
At least your name isn't Cliff Nestoroff.
Yeah, right.
John is back for part two. John has very generously done all this wonderful research and come up with his own premise, which I host. this co-host appreciates greatly. Last week we did, people seem to like the music episodes. People like One Hit Wonders.
We love them.
They like.
Oh, and the death.
We did the death songs of the 70s, which really took off. People liked them.
Terry Jacks,
Seasons in the Sun. So John is an architect by day, a very talented musician by night. You know his tunes for this podcast, Listener Mail theme, many others. The Producer of the Month theme. I don't want to leave any out.
No.
And John called me and he said, hey, I got a premise. Let's do all the Beatles-inspired bands that turned up on 60s TV shows, and there were many, and we did that last week. So now we're going to do part two, which is basically the same premise, but these are actual bands.
Right. I think somewhere along the line, these bands said, hey, this premise worked. We should just appear as ourselves.
Yes, because they were fictional bands, pretty much, or in the case of Gilligan's Island, the people who sang the theme song. People were drafted into the cause to play these bedbugs and mosquitoes.
And I also think that given the fact that they started touring and they were in California and in L.A., it was easier for them to actually get on these shows. So,
right.
Yeah.
So the first one you have here is from a Batman episode from season two, my favorite show.
Right. Season two, His Honor, the Penguin.
Yes.
This is
The Penguin runs for mayor.
That's right. The Penguin appears to have gone straight.
So later used in the plot of Batman Returns.
Right.
Strangely enough.
Right, right. What I find funny about this episode is that there's some kind of provision in the charter of Gotham City that permits felons to run for elective office. That's kind of, where have I heard that one before? And the mayor who's facing certain defeat, his name in this episode is Mayor Linseed.
He's in every episode. He's in a bunch of episodes.
I think it's very funny. Yeah. So Paul Revere and the Raiders make an appearance as themselves.
Amazing.
And in this case, they don't even sing anything. They're at the Penguins fundraiser. I don't know what kind of fundraiser
with
this
a
is.
Belly dancer.
With a belly dancer, and they're playing some trippy Middle Eastern music.
It's
weird. It's wild.
It's certifiably weird. Yeah.
So I guess that was must have been around the time the Beatles were getting with the Maharishi.
Maybe.
Quite possibly.
Because it's getting trippier.
Yeah.
The music is definitely getting trippier.
Yeah, yeah. We have another Batman episode coming, so we'll do a clip of that one. But Gilbert liked to talk about Chad and Jeremy.
Well, this is
on the Dick Van Dyke
this
Show.
This is one of the classics, right? And this is that classic premise where the mop top English guys come over. They're known as the Redcoats. That's the name of the band.
Okay.
A British rock duo. That's all the craze. Performing on Alan's show, Alan Brady, right?
Sure.
So, which causes issues for the show's staff. They can't keep screaming female fans at bay, so they need to hide them out somewhere. And of course, the Petri home is the natural place for them to go. So they show up and they do a number of musical performances, which are actually quite fun. And their banter back and forth is very funny, too.
Right. And Chad and Jeremy were a British Invasion act.
They are. And their banter is very light, very much Hard Day's Night banter, you know, that kind of quick-witted repartee when they're speaking to Alan Brady's staff. So it's quite entertaining.
Yeah. You remember that one, don't you?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you remember when Harry Twizzle came on the Dick Van Dyke Show and introduced the new dance craze, the Twizzle?
I remember.
Does anyone remember that?
That's a word.
It was a spoof of right. Chubby Checker and the twist and the peppermint twist. Do the twizzle. Did I dream this or is it an actual Dick Van Dyke episode? Yeah. February 10th of 65, the Redcoats are coming. Did you find that premise was used repeatedly?
Well,
the band that needs to hide out.
Not only that, but the other half of the premise is that the hosts can't tell anybody.
I see.
They have this great moral dilemma that they have to deal with.
This is fantastic.
Yeah, it's very funny.
I miss 60s television.
Yeah, me too, man.
So much. Speaking of Chad and Jeremy, they also turn up on a December 66 episode of Batman.
Yeah.
Bat's Kowtow with the lovely Julie Newmar, who was on this very show.
Right.
I might add. What was the premise of this one? If I didn't know.
Well, this is the most outlandish one I've heard, where somehow Catwoman, who's involved here, steals the voices of Chad and Jeremy, forcing a blackmail on the British government, who somehow can't collect tax revenues on their performances. So she wants £1 million from the British government, and somehow Batman and Robin—
to return their voices.
Eventually capture them. But what's cool about this episode is that they actually perform in a theatrical setting. And for a gear geek like myself, they're using all this great 60s gear and guitars and
stuff.
So
you enjoyed doing this research.
I got a chubby on this one.
A little bit of trivia from that episode. They appear on the Alan Stevens Show, who was played by Steve Allen.
How funny.
Oh.
Yeah. And they played Teenage Failure, which was one of their songs.
It's a pretty good song, actually.
Let's hear a little bit of this Batman episode, Frank. They got the screaming girls.
Went up to my boss today. I said, hey, man, can I have more pay? I said, will you? Please, sir. He took one look at me and then he said, if you ask me that again, I'll kill you.
Aren't they great, Alfred?
Well, they certainly do sway, don't they?
Very hip, Alfred.
It's hip, Aunt Harriet. They changed it.
Former podcast guest, Bert Ward.
Oh, God, I want that guitar.
Same sort of thing with the birds in this town. I pick them up, they put me down. Still, you can't complain. Much if I had a fancy car. Mercedes.
Here comes Commissioner Gordon.
Jack, you are a
thriller. Bruce Wayne.
Commissioner Gordon, how nice to hear your voice again.
Former podcast guest Adam West.
Everybody's been on this podcast
show.
Know,
but even so, it seems that the world. Do you remember this episode, Gil? Where Catwoman steals their voices?
I remember a voice-stealing thing that happened with the monkeys.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
That's a whole other world to
That's
drill
another
into.
World.
Actually, the monkeys is kind of the culmination of all of this.
Yes.
Where at some point, somebody finally decides, you know what? Let's just make a show about a band.
Let's go for it.
Let's go for it.
Next one up, the Beverly Hillbillies. I did not know this one.
You didn't know it because it's so weird and bizarre.
Robin Hood and the Sheriff was the name of the episode.
I tried watching this, at least clips of this episode, 3 or 4 times. It was a total shit show. I couldn't understand what was going on. Jethro is in a Robin Hood outfit. He's in a public park.
Played by former podcast guest Max Baer Jr.
Former podcast guest George Washington. Yeah, so these guys, the Peppermint Trolley Company, that were actually an American kind of sunshiny pop band.
They were real? The Peppermint Trolley Company, Gilbert.
Yeah. They had a single called Baby, You Come and Rollin' Cross My Mind. Also performed on Mannix.
Love it.
And they did an arrangement of performance of the Brady Bunch theme. So there you go. Like this weird intertwining.
The Peppermint
stuff.
Trolley Company.
Exactly.
On the Beverly Hillbillies.
And here they're just playing in this public park in the background while Jethro is doing his weird Robin Hood stuff.
How about a little of this, Frankie?
This man needs peace and quiet.
There they are.
There you go.
These are all on YouTube.
Sounds like Bo Diddley.
Sounds like Magic Bus to me.
Yeah.
Hey, come on now, Robin Hood.
Hey. What's that Bo Diddley beat?
The laugh track is so obtrusive.
I just want to get the laugh track.
There's Ellie Mae.
That little break with the guitar, that was, it seems like that was played no matter what kind of music.
No matter what. You always had that structure.
So, whether it was jazz or anything, it always had that beat.
This band showed up on Mannix too?
That's right.
Yeah.
The Peppermint Trolley Company. And speaking of Mannix.
Yes.
So this is where...
Take it, John.
This is where things get a little dark.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, Mannix is a detective show.
Sure.
And
yes, sure.
Violence. And so the Buffalo Springfield,
of
a real band and a quite important band of the period, appear as the bar band in a Mannix episode called Warning Live Blueberries. I don't know if that's some kind of obtuse drug reference. I'm not really sure. But Mannix is hired by an old friend to find his college-age daughter who's living in a commune. So, you know, it involves hippies and, you know, Charles Manson type stuff. And he penetrates this commune to try to find out what happened to this person. And there's this one scene where you see them playing in the background. You see Stephen Stills and Neil Young with the Fringe and the Gretches and the whole
bit. I watched the clip you sent me. It was dark. It's by the way, there's a monkey dancing in this Beverly Hillbillies episode.
In a Robin Hood outfit.
In a Robin Hood outfit, which will make Gilbert happy.
And very Fellini-esque. Abraham Lincoln.
dancing next to a monkey.
There for some reason.
Well, you should be okay with that.
Yeah.
The Mannix episode was disturbing.
It really
and
was.
And dark, but it was nice to see the Buffalo Springfield
on Mannix.
And
they're singing, and they're singing for quite a while. So they're kind of doing a Yardbirds thing in Blow Up, you know, where the Yardbirds are in that film and they appear as the house band. And that's what Buffalo Springfield is doing in this episode.
And what about this My Mother the Car episode from 65?
Yeah, this 65. Is just, I was going really deep.
This is a deep cut.
This is why you know this show failed so miserably, because the name of the episode is My Son the Ventriloquist. That's the name of the episode.
Oh, jeez.
Season 1, episode 10, and the name of the band is called The Spats, which it turns out was a real garage band out of Garden Grove, California.
How did you even find this stuff? Amazing.
They performed on Shindig. They released a couple of albums.
Well, they're on Shindig.
Including a single called Gator Tails and Monkey Ribs.
Oh, jeez.
Had you heard of the Spats, Gilbert?
That sounds like Gilbert's next book.
Yeah.
Right. So, it could be.
He likes
the sequel to Rubber Balls and Liquor.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I didn't have to mention bestiality. Gilbert woke up. But anyway, so this is a horrible show. And I think, like the show and the band, they're both relegated to the ash heap of history.
Did I send you a clip for this one, Frank? Or do I have a clip? Or is
there
the next clip?
There was a clip here. I don't know if you sent it to
me. I don't know if I gave him that one. Nope.
We will return to Gilbert Gottfried's Amazing Colossal Podcast after this.
So what's the next episode?
Well, I've got a few.
Sometimes
more
I didn't use the clips because it was an entire episode that you sent me.
That's
and I
right.
didn't want
and I couldn't it. I couldn't find any isolations.
That's fine. So, talk about the Flying Nun.
Flying Nun.
I'm just proud that Gilbert has said nothing of the chimp that was on the screen all that
I
time.
I know. I don't.
We
I expected
left it
a big
there,
reaction.
Like bait waiting to be
because he's normalized simians in clothing. That's why.
Yeah.
It's no longer an issue for him.
That was one of the cunnilingus chimps.
You had to say it, didn't you? You couldn't help yourself.
And one of the first clips he played, one of the guys' outfit in that Beatles-esque band with the hat and the glasses was like the outfit they wore for the Nairobi chimps.
The Nairobi Trio.
Can you play the cunnilingus chimps music, please?
Sure. Throw the episode completely off the rails.
We'll add that in later.
Yeah, he'll add it later. Tell us about Song of Betrill from the Flying Nun.
So this
68.
Is very funny.
They're still pushing this thing, like 68.
Unbelievable, man. And this one is the weirdest, most psychedelic song out of them all. It's a band called the Sundowners. that I believe were also a real band. It turns out one of the guys in the band was a friend of Sister Batrille's before she becomes a nun. Sister Batrille had a musical interest of trying to raise money somehow, so she writes a song. They decide to perform it, but of course it's performed in this very tripped-out psychedelic way that nobody appreciates. And
Sonny and the Sundowners were a real band.
And it's a very trippy trippy rock song. What's funny about it is that the guy singing it sounds like the lead singer of Steeler's Wheel. He's doing like a really bad
Jerry Rafferty.
Dylan imitation, right?
Wow.
Jerry Rafferty.
Wow. Gilbert, was The Flying Nun a show you watched?
No.
No, huh?
No.
Yeah.
Never watched
I would think that would be one of your favorites.
Yeah.
How could I have gotten that so wrong?
He was big into Alejandro Rey.
Yes.
She's a Madrid. She's a Madrid children. She's a Madrid.
Okay. What a...
But you never heard an Alejandro Rey.
What about this before? Other Beverly Hillbillies episode?
So the other Beverly Hillbillies is featuring a band called The Enemies. You talk about a proto-punk garage band.
I've never heard of these bands.
And in this case, hoping that a party will help Jethro and Ellie Mae meet people their own age, the Clampets want to hold an old-fashioned hoedown.
Oh.
So they enlist the help of Miss Hathaway to go out and find a band. They wind up in this club, and they hire this band that probably sounded more at home playing on the docks of Hamburg than they did in Southern California.
I almost feel guilty forcing you to sit through every one of these episodes.
It was oddly fascinating because they do a couple of songs. They do a version of Pretty Woman, which is okay.
Really?
And then they do a version of I Got My Mojo Working, you know, the old blues standard, which is actually... You know, it's got some...
I laugh thinking about how the writers would, you know, submit scripts for that season.
Yeah.
And everybody had their rock and roll episode. You know, everybody had to submit an episode with, the band's hiding out. In the case of the Munsters, they rent the house out to the fucking Standells.
Hey, let's hear from the Jolly Green Giant.
We'll get to that one. But it's like, it was almost mandatory
to have
your rock episode.
And these guys, what's interesting also is that they were mostly garage bands too. I mean, they were like out doing like on B record labels.
Yeah. Nobody wanted to put out the money to get Boys
and
Heart.
I'm sure they were available for like, you know, $20 or whatever. So these guys were a garage band from Buffalo, New York. And then they went on to do different things. I think one of them wound up in the Three Dog Night. Members of the Enemies.
Oh, was it was it Corey Wells?
Yes. Corey Wells. Bravo, Frank. You
would
get
have been
the cigar.
a great podcast guest. We're going to try to get Chuck Negron for Three Dog Night. Never heard of these bands. I love that you did all this research. What about Ben Casey?
So Ben Casey features the Standells, which is a band that turns out appeared on many episodes. They kind of get my award for having the most exposure. There's an episode called Three Little Lambs, which actually also features Marlo Thomas.
There you go, Gil.
Who's a kind of...
And Carol O'Connor's in that episode.
That's right. So he's trying to lasso in three neurosurgeons that he's responsible for, and he needs to give them all a talking to about how they're living their lives. And of course, he does it in a bar listening to a garage
rock
band.
Of course. Did you watch Ben Casey, Gilbert?
Yeah. And with...
Sam Jaffe.
Yeah.
Dr. Zorba.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're playing in the background, and I always found, you know, the black and white shows kind of weird, you know, because this should have been in the color era, but this was still a black and white
show. What's fascinating is that you wonder if the Standells representation were on top of this. Like, how many shows can we put you guys on? Because it was three shows in a year.
That's right.
They did Ben Casey. They did the Bing Crosby show in January, Ben Casey in March.
Right.
And the Munsters in
and
March.
In March. Munsters in March. Yeah. And and the other thing I found out about them, you know how they kind of have this 50s clean cut look with the suits and the pompadours, but it turns out they were much more of a hippie band kind of coming out on the scene, and their management forced them to look a bit cleaner, almost what Brian Epstein did with the Beatles, because they were trying to book them on all these shows and they didn't want to be too outlandish.
It's amazing how many shows got mileage out of this idea. And the Sandells, as we said, turned up on the Bing Crosby show. Which is a clip you sent me that I couldn't really watch because it was hard to watch.
This was the only, out of all of these episodes, out of all this research, the only one I couldn't really find any premise for. There's not a lot written on. I think it was a very short-lived sitcom.
Do you remember the Bing Crosby show?
No.
I mean, he had done like three or four of these types of shows in the 60s,
I think. There were a few weird shows. Like, I remember they had the Henry Fonda show.
The Smith Family.
Yeah, and the Jimmy Stewart show.
Yep. Ron Howard was on that Henry Fonda show.
Yeah.
He was his son.
Yeah. That was a weird show. Time when they had these movie stars.
Yeah,
they get well, and show. They were in the twilight of their careers.
Yes,
and they would give them a TV show to front. I mean, Fred McMurray too.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, My Three Sons, and we saved the best for last.
My absolute favorite.
Mine too.
Oh, yeah. Far Out Monsters.
Oh, okay.
Eddie comes up with a new musical taste, rock music. After,
okay.
After putting a record in the phonograph, Herman and Grandpa get very angry about the noisy music. Later, a rock group manager sees in the paper that the Munsters' house is a perfect shelter for the Standells. So they rent the house.
Of course.
The Munsters go away. The Munsters come back, and it turns into this whole Beat Generation, Allen Ginsberg poetic party.
It's great
thing.
With Zalman King
doing some great spoken word poetry.
Yeah.
But I love Herman's poetry the best.
I watched the whole episode because I had to see Grandpa
Me
hanging
too.
In the closet.
Me too. I did it. This is the only one I watched from start to finish. We lead sad lives, Frank. We really do.
Well, we share an Al Lewis obsession.
Yeah.
I'm going to get you back here at some point to do some kind of All Munsters episode. I don't know what it is yet, but we'll come up with some kind of premise.
You need to get Billy West for that.
Yeah, I will get Billy West.
When he comments on the room
Let's,
tone.
Frankie, let's see a little of this wonderful clip of the Standells on the Munsters.
We'll all wing it. We'll all sing it. Kyle Lombardo's back in town.
That's the poet known as the Hermit.
So hip. The hip jokes are so hip. Kyle Lombardo
sure
joke.
He cuts away the tinsel, don't he?
He sure cuts away
Grandpa,
the tinsel.
Isn't this a fun party?
Yes. I haven't seen so many good-looking people in one place since we closed down the mausoleum back home.
Let's hear from the Jolly Green Giant.
Are you got to hear this? Bibbidi bibbidi. I wrote it down.
This is great. It's Harmon's poetry.
Oh, dear, I think he's going to recite.
Ibbidi bibbidi sibbidi sab. Ibbidi bibbidi canal boat. Dictionary. Down the ferry. Mary, Mary, quite contrary. Fuzzy Wuzzy was a bear. Fuzzy Wuzzy lost his hair. Scuba do and scuba die. That chicken's not too young to fry.
Remember the scuba? That's great.
Life is real, life is earnest. If you're cold, turn up the furnace.
It's fantastic.
I thank you.
That's great.
Fantastic. Can we go back and hear a little of the Standells? Are they before this or after?
It's so weird that it's supposed to be Beatles.
Right.
But they're still thinking in terms of, the Beat Generation.
Exactly. So it's kind of straddling,
Go back a little bit, Frank. We'll see if we can.
You marked 11:43, but that was what we just
said. Yeah, I marked it wrong.
Do the Ringo, and they also do a Beatle track. I want to hold your hand.
No, we don't want to hear Lily singing with the harp. Go back to the Standells.
Yeah.
Nope.
Simon.
Right here.
There we go.
Come on in. Hey, Nino. Some cats from L.A. just blew in.
A little bit after this.
Yeah.
We don't know
it's coming.
Did you dig that crazy getup? Man, is that way out.
You see the hairdo on the tall one? It's the greatest thing since Carl Sandburg.
It's references. Carl Sandburg. Guy Lombardo. Here's the Standells.
Yeah. He showed you how to ring go. Come on and let yourself go.
Everybody ring go. Any memories of this, Gil?
I vague.
Do I remember smoke coming out of Grandpa's ears at some point?
That's when they do, I want to hold your hand.
I see.
Yeah. It's when Herman freaks out.
John, this was a great premise. A
lot of fun.
Yeah. and fun to do the research?
Yeah, yeah, it was great. I mean, it kind of rekindled my interest in garage rock. There's a whole, it's a deep mine to go down.
Are there any you missed?
I think probably there was a My Three Sons.
Okay.
Because I remember still images of them holding guitars. And,
okay.
And like I said, Flintstones, and I'm sure some other cartoons
right.
covered as well. I think they were covered in every form of the medium.
Well, this man loves Al Lewis, Gilbert, and we have to come up with a Munsters premise.
Oh, for him absolutely.
Back we'll come back and bring him back.
Yeah.
Here's one that's not a band that mm-hmm. I remembered,
okay.
but a 60s artist on Batman.
Ah.
Does this ring a bell? Jim Windolf.
I recognize this.
Jim is here. Maybe he knows. This is from a Catwoman episode. Gilbert?
Oh!
It's Leslie Gore.
Oh, wow.
Jim knows.
Jeez. It almost sounds like a Brian Wilson type of track.
A little Beach Boys kind of thing. California Nights.
Yeah. It's sunshine pop.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's great. Oh, I remember this song.
Leslie Gore
yeah,
playing Pussycat on Batman. So I had to find one and throw it at you. Not a band.
Fantastic.
Gil?
Ah! Okay, I'm Gilbert Gottfried, and I'm my co-host Frank Santopadre, and this has been Gilbert and Frank's Amazing Colossal Obsessions with our special guest, John Fievenfievelfachen.
John, this was fun.
Thank you. Thank you, guys.
Let's do more.
Absolutely.
Okay, this was a lot
Munster,
of fun.
Munster, go home.